We're going to be in Luke chapter 2. I'm putting this thing on not because so you can hear me, but we record everything onto the computer back there. I'm not sure why. Nobody's. But anyway, we record them back there on the computer in case, you know, we put them on DVDs if need be or whatever. But in Luke chapter 2, we're going to have the story of Jesus when he was 12 years old. Kind of hard to work with a jacket on sometimes. But I'm going to turn that to... Well, in the summer, do you turn it up or do you turn it... What's the proper terminology? Turn it up or turn it down? Turn it down? Turn it up in the winter and turn it down in the summer? Is that what it is? Anyway, Luke chapter 2, verse 41, this is one of the stories we have of Jesus during his childhood. We have very little about his childhood in the scriptures. But this is a very important lesson that we can learn even from a 12-year-old boy as he was at this time. But anyway, even through this, we see he tells his parents, "I was about my father's business." So even at this young age, he knew what was going on. He knew who he was. And he had wisdom beyond the leaders of the church. Why? God incarnate. God in the flesh. 100% God, 100% Jesus. But here in Luke chapter 2, verse 41. "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it." Verse 44. "And they, supposing to him have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him." Verse 46. "And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." 48. "And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, 'Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing.' And he said unto them, 'How is it that you sought me? Wist it not that I must be about my father's business?' 50. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Dear Jesus, we ask that you'll open up in our hearts, our understanding, that you'll give me clearness of speech, that you'll give me what you want me to tell your people here today, and God, that you'll help each one of us understand your message as you speak to us today from your precious word, that you might see what you want us to learn. Help me, God, to relay what you've laid on my heart. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you know, Passover was in the 12th month of Nisan, the first month of the Jewish calendar, Nisan, Nisus. And it lasted for 8 days. 7 days, and the first day they killed the lamb, then it lasted 7 days after that. It's also called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. By the commandments that was given to Moses in Exodus chapter 12, they were supposed to observe this Passover every year. And they were supposed to observe it at the temple. Well, the temple was in Jerusalem at this time. So every year, by the law, they were commanded to go there and observe the Passover feast. Now, Jesus was observing the Passover feast in the upper room with the 12 disciples. He was observing the Passover. Then when he sent Judas Iscariot out, he instituted the Lord's Supper. And then that's what we observe today, is the Lord's Supper. Because we do not need to observe the Passover anymore, because the Passover was fulfilled by the Lamb of God on Calvary. So now the Passover was looking forward to the Lamb. The Lord's Supper is looking back to the fulfilled prophecy of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. But anyway, that's not what we're about today anyway. Just want to get you up to date where we're at. Now, they were returning. They were going back to Nazareth. That's where he was raised, up in the northern part of Israel, up in the Galilean area. You notice Jerusalem is down south. It says they went down from Jerusalem. Well, anytime you go away from Jerusalem, anytime you go away from the temple of God, all through the Bible it says down, where it's north, south, east, or west. It's always talked about down. And anytime you're going towards Jerusalem, it's talked about going up. And that's the way it is in our lives. Anytime we're going away from God, no matter which direction in our life, we're going down. Anytime we're coming back to God, we're going up in our life. And Jerusalem was a temple, represented God, where he was at, and those type of things. So that'll help you many times with some questions that you might have as you read the Bible. It wasn't a mistake. They know which way the compass goes and everything else. Now, they went to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. 8 days. They were there. They were in a company of people. A kind of a caravan, a whole group of people went together. Many times they traveled that way in this time because there was safety in numbers against the robbers and thieves and stuff like that. Plus, they could have fellowship together as they traveled. The families went together. They had acquaintances. They went together. These were all people. These were all friends as they went together to Jerusalem to go to church. And many times we come to church with friends. We want to bring our friends to church. We want to be together with our friends at church. I remember before I was able to go full time in the ministry, I felt like I had two lives, two worlds I was living. One was at work and the people there, and one was at home with our church. And I got to where I didn't like the other place. Well, I went and did my job and all those things, but it wasn't a joy to be at church. Now, you know, you should be able to enjoy where you work. It should be something you like to do. But it got to be where that was a different part of my life. And I didn't want to put all my time into that. I want to put my time somewhere else. But anyway. Very interesting here. They presumed or assumed that Jesus was with them when they left Jerusalem. There was a large group of people there. I don't know how many people there was. Joseph and Mary had some other children. I don't know if they'd probably been born by this time. There's other acquaintances, other family, other members there with them. As they returned back to Nazareth, it says the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. He wasn't being disobedient. He wasn't disobeying. He was still there, taking care of business with his father. They left without Jesus. Joseph and his mother knew not of it. When you make a trip, you're going to make a trip or plan or go on vacation or whatever it is, there's lots of planning that has to go into it. How are you going to travel? What are you going to do? How are you going to get there? What money are you going to need? What clothes are you going to take? When are you going to leave? When are you going to come back? There's thousands of things that have to be planned with a trip. And have you ever taken a trip with children or grandchildren? That's a whole nother area of things that has to be taken care of. Remember when you leave the hotel or you leave the relative's home, when you get ready to go home, you've got to make sure that they've got everything. You can't trust them to get everything. You've got to go check the rooms. You've got to go check the closets. You've got to go check under the bed. You've got to check all these places to make sure that you've got everything that you left home with that you're going to take back home. They were within a group of family and friends. And they were traveling together. And they thought Jesus was with them. They thought he was over one of the relatives, cousins or something another, or friends or acquaintances. They just thought he was with them. Our life, many times, is just like this. We get so busy. We get so involved. And all of the things that we're doing, We get so involved in life and business and things we've got to do. So much stuff that's going on in our lives. We got to do this, we got to do that. I mean, these are all not bad things, but they're just things we're doing. And we're walking through life and we're going through life and we're thinking that Jesus is right there with us as we're going through life. We're making this trip, we're traveling through life, and well, Jesus is right there with us. He's coming along, we're all right. All of a sudden you realize He's not there. He's not there. Where is He? Start looking. They had gone a day's journey out of Jerusalem. For a whole day, they had an assumption that was wrong. They thought He was there. Now, it wasn't that they were going so fast that they left Jesus behind. He couldn't catch up. It wasn't that they were going to the wrong place. It's that they left before it was time to go. They left before Jesus was finished. They had their plan. They had their agenda. They had their schedule all figured out in their head. And this is what they were doing. This was their schedule. This is when they had to get back. They had all of these things figured out in their life. But they didn't figure Jesus in. They didn't figure Jesus in. We've all been there. We've all been there. We figure all this stuff. We plan all this stuff. We got our calendar out. We got our maps out. We got our schedule out. We got our alarm clock out. We got all these things out. But we don't plan Jesus in. Somebody, when you go on vacation, you notice I always ask you, did you go to church? You notice I always ask you, was there a church there? My son went on vacation one time to a place. I started calling around to find a church for him because I didn't trust him to find one. He's 30-some-odd years old. And I found a good one by recommendation of somebody else. And now they love that church when they go on vacation there. Don't leave Jesus out. Don't leave Him out of your plans. Don't leave Him out of your budget. Don't leave Him out of your marriage. Don't leave Him out of your family. Don't leave Him out of your work. Don't leave Him out of your travels. And don't leave Him at home when you go to Walmart. Don't leave Jesus out of your plans. They looked for Him for a whole... They traveled, they looked for Him, and they couldn't find Jesus. They couldn't find Him. Looked all around where they thought He would be. But He wasn't there. It says they were searching to look, to diligently, to go around. Have you seen Jesus? No, have you seen Jesus? No, have you seen Jesus? No, where's Jesus? Where do you see my boy? No, I don't know where he's at. Well, where did he go? I don't know. I don't see Him anywhere. And they started looking. You ever been at the store and lost somebody? A little child or something? You lost them? Man, that sinking feeling that comes over inside of your stomach. You can't find that child somewhere? Man, somebody's kidnapped them or got lost. You just get that, man. It just takes you over. And it burns you and you panic and you just, and you start looking. Hopefully you find them over in the toys or someplace, you know, and that's where they are. They stopped to look at something, and you just kept on going. They saw something, went off this way. State Fair, sometimes at Walmart. You see this little kid, Mommy, Mommy, and he's crying. The little kid's crying. He's lost. And Mama's going around panicking, looking for this kid. Do you feel that way when you realize Jesus is not there? Do you have that same sinking feeling in your soul when you realize, Jesus isn't right there? Many times we don't. You know why? We don't think it's that serious. We don't think it's that serious. We don't think it's that serious to leave Jesus out of our plans. We don't think it's that serious to go ahead without Jesus. We don't think it's that serious. We didn't plan this. We didn't plan our move to another town. We didn't plan church into this. We didn't plan all these things in our life. We didn't plan this on our vacation. We didn't plan this in. You don't think it's serious. But many times it's more serious than losing a child sometimes. Now listen, if you're saved, you're saved. You're not going to lose your salvation. But you sure can get out of fellowship real easy. You left him behind. You didn't plan him in your life. You didn't plan him in your job. You didn't plan him in your marriage. Well, when they couldn't find him, they turned back. That's the key here, folks. They turned back. In the Old Testament, the word turn is used for repentance. To repent is an about face. They turned back. They turned back around. They went back a whole day's journey back to Jerusalem. They said, "Where was the last time you saw that child?" "Well, I was over here looking at green beans or something," whatever, you know. "That's the last time I saw this child. What's he look like? What's he wear?" You know, all that stuff. The last time they remember being with Jesus was back in Jerusalem. When we start going through life and we realize, hey, Jesus isn't there. You have to stop. You have to turn around. And you have to go back in your life to where you remember Jesus being with you. You went on a different path. You ever read Pilgrim's Progress, how they got off the path? They went on a different path. Jesus was going this way and you started going this way. You left him behind. He wasn't part of your plans. You need to go back to that fork in the road. You need to go back to that decision you made in your life. You need to go back to whatever it was when you remember being close to Jesus and go back to that place. And that's where you'll find Jesus. But if you just keep on going and say, "Oh, he'll catch up," or "I'll take a detour over here and I'll find him," or somewhere. No. It says go back. They turned back to Jerusalem. They was out a day to come back. It took them 3 days to find Jesus. 5 days. 5 days. They were alone. 5 days they were worried about Jesus. 5 days. 1 day out, a day's journey out, day's journey back. 3 days to find him. One moment in time. One decision in time. One wrong decision in time cost them 5 days of being separated from God. One decision. One thing. As I've told you so many times, when I don't see you, that's why I call you. Because I worry about you. Because I know one day can lead to many days. I don't want you to be alone, to be lost. I got some people now that call me when they're not going to be here. I appreciate that. I do. I appreciate that. They got a problem. They got something going on. They're sick or whatever. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. "Well, I was in the hospital. Why don't you come see me?" "I didn't know you was there." You know? Listen. They went back. And they started looking. 3 days. 3 days. Three is the number of life in the Bible. God made life on the third day. Christ resurrected from the tomb on the third day. That's a whole other lesson there. Where did they find him? In the temple. Now, how strange is that to find Jesus in church? Man, that is strange. I never thought about looking in church for Jesus. We searched for 3 days and we couldn't find him. And there he is in church. Duh. Wake up. Hey, where else are you going to get close to Jesus? One of the best places in God's house to get close to Jesus. He was about his Father's business. When you're hurting, when you have a need, when you're lost, when you're searching, when things are going on in your life, God's house is the best place to be. Well, I don't feel very spiritual. I don't feel like worshiping. I don't feel like this, and I got this, and I got this problem. Well, join the crowd. Feel like the Long Ranger? Get in here. Be with God's people. Get uplifted. Be strengthened, you know? Well, I got a bad ache. Well, sometimes it's so bad it keeps you home. That's, I understand that. But sometimes you got a headache. You might as well have a headache at church as have a headache at home. It's not going to go away. You know? Now, sometimes you can't be here. I understand that. But hey, come on down, folks. Be in God's house. That's the best place to get back to Jesus. Why look for him for 3 days when he's right in church? When he's right in your Bible. When he's right there waiting for you to talk to him. When he's right there. Why wait till, oh man, where's he at? Oh, we got to look for him. Now we got to go back. Then they search for him and then they find him. 5 days. Why go 5 days? You heard that, seen that sign around? 1 week without prayer makes 1 week. Seen that? It's on how you spell week. Now, where did they find him? In the midst of the doctors. In the midst of the church leaders. That's where they found Jesus. He wasn't hiding. He was there with the church. Helping the church. It says both hearing them and asking them questions. Jesus listens and hears you. He was listening to what they were saying. It wasn't all one-sided conversation there. And then asking them questions. Jesus has some questions for you and me. Where have you been? I've been waiting to talk to you. Why didn't you ask me before you did that? Why didn't you tell that person about me? You felt me talking to your heart about them. Why do you believe this? Fill in the blank. What about this? Fill in the blank. You look through the questions when Jesus asks a question. Now you think about this. Jesus is God. He knows everything. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going to be thinking. Thoughts and intents of your heart. Discerner of the thoughts. Dividing of moral. He knows all those things. So why ask a question if he knows the answer? To get you thinking. To bring you around. To where he's at. That's why. Why do you ask questions if you already know the answer? Because he wants you to think about it. He wants you to figure it out. He wants you to think along the same lines as he is thinking. He was answering them and he was asking them questions. One of the best ways to get I remember my mom telling me, my dad used to say, when's he going to learn to talk? Then my dad would say, when's he going to learn to be quiet? You know? Why? You know how that is. Why is this? Why is that? Why is the sky blue? You know? Why is the egg yellow and the rest white? Why? You know, all the why questions. How you learn things. Why? First words they learn is no and why. Now, verse 48. When they saw him, they were amazed. They were amazed at this young child, this 12-year-old boy. They were amazed. Why were they amazed? Where did they think Jesus was going to be? Now listen to what... So his mother said, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." I don't know what they was feeling on the inside when they couldn't find Jesus. I bet they were tore up. They lost their boy. He's gone. He's missing. Now, hey, this is out in a day's journey from Jerusalem. This is out on the roads where thieves and robbers and all kinds of those things. There was no such thing as police force. There was just the Roman soldiers. They didn't know where he was at. They was worried. Got off the path to get eaten by something or get attacked or get lost. They didn't know. But they ask, "Why didst thou deal with us? Jesus, why did you do this to us? Why did you do this to us? It's your fault, Jesus." Don't we say that so many times? Don't we say, God, why did you let this happen to me? God, you shouldn't not let that happen. God, this shouldn't have happened in my life. God, why did you do that in my life? God didn't do it. That's our own dumb decisions that we made that caused those things to happen in our life. God's going to do that to you? Now, sometimes he might bend you over his knee and give you a little swat or two, but hey, sometimes the things that happen in our life is just because of things we do. Make bad decisions and bad things happen. You put a whole bunch of bad decisions together and something's going to happen. And it's not going to be good. Well, all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them are called according to his purpose. There's conditions to those promises. The rest of the verse. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Yes, through Christ. Not on your own. A lot of these things we say, "Oh, God, you shouldn't have God's..." No. Oh, they sought him. That's good. They were looking for him. They were sorrowing. That's good. But listen, the kind of problems that we bring in our life does not just affect one person. They affect many people. I don't know. They probably didn't catch up with that caravan until they got all the way back to Nazareth. All those people with them, for that whole time, were worried about Jesus. Hey, they went a day out, went a day back in, and 3 days looking. They're 5 days ahead of them. They didn't have no fast camel or donkey or anything else. They're 5 days ahead of them. They're going to get all the way back before they find out what's going on. All those people were affected. All those people worried. Now, Mary says, your father and myself, and then Jesus, you know, makes sure we get it. I was about my father's business, God. Because Joseph was only his stepdad. Wasn't his real father. You are not an island unto yourself. Whatever decisions you make are going to affect everyone else. Now notice another question in verse 49. How is it that you sought me? He knows the answer. Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? He knows the answer. He's not asking a question to find out information. He's asking a question to put it in their mind. How is it that you had to look for me? how is it you didn't know where to find me? The same questions are asked today of us. How is it that you had to look for me? Why wasn't I with you? Where did you go that I wasn't? Why didn't you know where to find me? All of these questions he asked. He knows the answer, but he's asking these questions so we will think about them. So we will realize. Like I said, you wasn't traveling too fast that Jesus couldn't catch up. You wasn't going some other place. You just went ahead of Jesus. You left without Jesus. Maybe you went to a different place that Jesus wasn't going. Maybe you made some decisions that Jesus wasn't going to be there with you on. Maybe you're watching a movie or listening to some music or doing something that Jesus wouldn't sit down there and watch with you. Then you're saying, well, where were you at, Jesus? I said, well, I'm not going to watch that junk. I'm not going to listen to that junk. We soon forget that he is in our soul. We're grieving the Spirit of God, whereby we're sealed in the day of redemption. How is it that you sought me? Why did you have to look for me? Sobering questions, aren't they? They didn't understand it. He said, I must be about my Father's business. They was having trouble getting a hold of these scriptural, spiritual things that were happening in their life. Mary thought about him. Mary kept him in her heart. Even when Jesus was christened, or what do they call it, when he circumcised at 8 days old and his name became official, as she heard the prophets of God prophesy about her son, she says she kept those things in her heart when he's 8 days old. Verse 52, he grew, he's 12 years old, in wisdom, stature, he grows into a man, in favor with God and man. Now listen to this. Do you like Jesus? Is Jesus your favorite? Do you love Jesus more than anything in life? He grew in favor with God. What Jesus did pleased God. What Jesus did pleased God. If it's okay with God, it better be okay with us. Otherwise, we're saying God's wrong. He grew in favor with God and man. People are learning to love Jesus. I want you to think this morning. Are you as close to Jesus as sometime in your past life? If not, then why not? And if you're not close to Jesus today, then why not? How is it that you were looking for me? That's what he asked his mother. Do you know you're saved? Has there been a time in your life that you actually asked Jesus to come dwell in your soul and be your Savior? If not, then you don't have a chance of being with Him. Oh, He's talking to you. He's burdening you. He's trying to get your attention. Are you listening? Are you listening? The man that was born blind. He says, I've already told you two or three times how he gave my eyesight back. Aren't you listening? Jesus is trying to talk to you. Are you listening? Stay close to Jesus. Don't get off the path. And the way to do that is to follow Jesus and not lead Jesus. remember seeing a bumper sticker. It says, don't go faster than your guardian angel can fly. Bumper sticker. Don't leave Jesus behind. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. We're talking about having Him in your life. He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can't get rid of Jesus once you have Him. But you can drift away. And He won't be close. He won't be governing in your life. Other things will. Jesus loves you. Why were you looking for me? Go back to where you lost Him. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. See what God has for us today. What God wants to do in your life today. Dear Jesus, I thank You for these great stories in Your Bible. God, I ask that You'll help me always apply them to my life. And God, I ask today, if there's some here that have drifted away, that You'll bring them back. That they'll return back. And God, we just praise You for what You've done on that cross and that empty tomb. Oh, Jesus, too. If there's one here that doesn't know You as their Savior, that today will be their day. We ask for these things in the name of Jesus.